Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time on KCBS, we're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields. Today, as we've been reporting, President Biden has officially pardoned his son, Hunter Biden, garnering criticism from many.
To take a closer look at how this power has changed over the years and how it's utilized, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dan Coble, constitutional law professor at Capital University Law School, an expert on executive clemency. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
So we're used to, at the end of presidential administration, hearing lists of people who have been granted clemency or pardoned, whatever. This is a unique situation, is it not?
This is unprecedented. Other presidents have occasionally used the clemency power for those close to them, but never anything like this where a president has pardoned an immediate family member who has not even been sentenced.
We did have in 2020 Trump pardoning Charles Kushner and Bill Clinton pardoning his younger half-brother, Roger Clinton. What specifically does a pardon cover in this case?
In the case of Hunter Biden, it covers anything, at least my understanding of it is, that could constitute a federal crime from 2014 until today during his period of essentially drug dependency. Now, a pardon can be limited in scope. This pardon was worded fairly broadly, so it would cover any possible federal prosecutions. However, it would not apply to any possible state crimes that could be charged. It is only within the president's power to pardon offenses against the laws of the United States, which would be federal laws.
So is it normal for presidents to wait until the very last moments of their presidency to do this so that they can avoid any pushback?
Well, it has become more normal. I think earlier in our history, the clemency power was seen as something that was part and parcel to the president's executive responsibilities, and presidents tended to use it throughout their term in a fairly non-controversial fashion. It was seen as simply part of their job. You go through federal sentences, you see situations where the sentence is overly harsh or where it's not perhaps appropriate for this person, and you either pardon them or you commute their sentence. Around the time of Ronald Reagan, pardons became much more politicized, and presidents, I think, realized the extent to which pardons and commutations could be politically dangerous. So since the era of Reagan, this tends to be the busy time when presidents feel free to use their power. So folks like Clinton, Trump, and now President Biden tend to not use the power while they are in office or facing re-election, but when they are out on their way out the door, they've been more willing to do it. That said, for example, Trump was indeed one of the stingiest stingiest presidents when it came to granting actual pardons and commutations to most people. He ended up giving only 144 pardons and 94 commutations in 4 years. And the vast majority of people who had asked for clemency did not receive it. Those who did receive it tended to be people that Trump knew or were political supporters or had influential support from people he knew or wanted to get support from.
Given the pardon of Hunter Biden, do you see Trump more likely to issue the pardons for the January 6th insurrection?
Oh, yeah. I think this will make it even more likely. I had believed it was likely before this, but I think this now gives a very easy sort of tit-for-tat explanation for the January 6th insurrection convictions, because they'll say something like, well, if the president can pardon some criminal like Hunter Biden, I can pardon, you know, patriots like the J6 choir, you know, that sort of thing. So I think this makes it easier and easier to muddy the waters by saying, see, we're no different than he was.
One of the things, since we agree this is a unique experience, was that President Biden said repeatedly that this is something he was not going to do. So what would you imagine would have changed his mind?
Well, you know, I heard him say that. I also am a father, and I thought sort of on a personal level about how hard that sort of decision had to be for somebody who has the power to spare their son, particularly if they think their son has been subjected to prosecution in part because of political pressure by rivals. What I think probably tipped the scales for President Biden, and again, I have no knowledge of this, but this is just speculation, but the debacle of the incoming president saying we are going to wreak retribution on our opponents, and I am going to nominate for attorney general my personal attorney, and I am going to fire the FBI director and nominate a political crony who has promised to exact retribution against anyone who is not, quote unquote, a patriot. I think when you look at that, I think there is a credible belief among many that Hunter Biden could be singled out for not just prosecution, but political persecution by the incoming administration. So under that kind of a circumstance, it would be the cold-hearted father who would say, sorry, son, I made a promise, and I can't sully my reputation by saving you from my political enemies who have just said they want to take it out on anybody close to me. So I think that is likely the best explanation for what changed for Biden.
What about the possibility of Trump pardoning himself?
Well, that is something that has never happened. And so, you know, essentially legal scholars have disagreed over whether that's something the Constitution would allow. And I think the stronger case was probably that you could not grant a pardon to yourself. If you would be granting a pardon, it would likely be to someone else. And that's clearly what the framers of the Constitution contemplated when they gave the power to the president. However, the Supreme Court's recent decision in July that basically said that the president's pardon power is a core executive function that is essentially impervious to any examination by either the legislature, or presumably the courts, might make that more likely that a president could pardon himself, because the court could take the position, and I certainly could imagine particular justices on the court saying this. The court could take the position, it's the president's power and we have nothing to say about it. What you gonna do? The answer is the people at the ballot booth making a decision, which of course they would not be able to do with a lame duck president.
What is the difference between clemency and pardon?
Yes, clemency is the umbrella term for specific types of grants of forgiveness or reprieve. There are essentially three specific types of clemency. So a pardon is the broadest, that would forgive and remit the consequences for any type of conviction. Presidents, though, can also grant what are called commutations, which is a substituting of a lesser sentence for a larger one. So that would be possible. And that is, in fact, what President Obama did, what Biden has done. Biden has actually granted more commutations than pardons, mostly to people who were severely sentenced under the crack cocaine drug laws and things like that. So someone who got a sentence for crack cocaine that would have been much lower had they sold the same amount or possessed the same amount of powder, you know, have been widely criticized by legal analysts as essentially racially disparate sentences, because black people tended to be sentenced for crack and white people more for powdered cocaine. Yet we sentenced crack cocaine much more harshly. Obama and Biden have tried to rectify some of those disparities. And the third type of clemency that can be granted is called a reprieve, which is a temporary postponement of a sentence. And you can say, I'll postpone your sentence for 30 days.
Aside from this Hunter Biden pardon, what are the more controversial pardons that we've seen in recent presidential history?
Well, you know, certainly the most controversial pardon in history is President Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon after he left office. Ford, and I had an opportunity to interview Ford before he died about it. Basically, after he took office, after Nixon had resigned, pardoned Nixon for any and all crimes he may have committed, so that we would not face the spectacle of a former president indicted for the crimes that he committed. When I interviewed Ford, my sense was that he believed Nixon had committed crimes. I asked him, I said, well, your pardon was worded to encompass any federal crime Nixon had committed. Were you worried that perhaps there were things you didn't know about that he had done that you were pardoning him for? And his response was, well, I knew I was pardoning him for obstruction of justice, and that was bad enough, so I realized I was pardoning him for a lot. Ford also believed that by accepting the pardon, Nixon was essentially confessing to his guilt for crimes. And so he carried with him in his wallet a Supreme Court decision that implied as much. And that was one of the other things that he took solace in when he was criticized for being too soft on Nixon for his crimes. So that pardon itself probably cost Gerald Ford the election in his race against Jimmy Carter in 1976. It was very unpopular. some people believed or speculated that there had been some sort of a deal struck. And so that was the most controversial pardon in history. Other controversial pardons include the first President Bush pardoning his cabinet members. Caspar Weinberger was one of them who had been involved with Iran-Contra and faced criminal charges. President Bill Clinton granted pardons to a host of people at the end of his term. Part of the problem with Clinton was the way he did it. He just took a huge stack of files, did not await Justice Department recommendations, and pardoned a bunch of people, including his half-brother, Roger, who had served time for federal drug charges. So that was controversial. He was also criticized for pardoning Mark Rich, who was a fugitive from justice on the understanding that Rich would make restitution, but he had been living abroad, and his ex-wife, I believe, was a Democratic fundraiser. So he was criticized for that. But perhaps, the most controversial uses of the pardon power were in recent times were those of Donald Trump in his first term. He waived the pardon power to many, including those who were being sought as witnesses by Robert Mueller, and he ended up pardoning Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, General Flynn, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who spoke at the Republican convention about him and supported Trump. So basically, Trump used the pardon power almost entirely to pardon corrupt politicians and supporters. And so he's, there's a very interesting law review article that was published by Professor Altshuler from the University of Chicago that was titled The Corruption of the Pardon Power, that focused almost entirely on Trump's pardons, that basically documents time after time how people with no influence were denied the vast majority of applicants, but the people who were granted were people who could help Trump or return to the battle in political terms to help him again. And that is what I suspect we will see coming up in the next 4 years.
Professor, thank you so much for joining us to discuss this. That's Dan Coble, constitutional law professor at Capital University Law School, an expert on executive clemency. You can listen to the entire interview and past Ask an Expert on the Odyssey app. Download the app to your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. The interviews are posted in the on-demand section, or you can utilize Rewind to listen back to them.